Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Greve and it's Steve Palmer to look back on the Alfred Dunhill Championship and also the Grant Thornton Invitational and sadly preview our final tournament of 2023 in the shape of the Mauritius Open. As well as that, there's more LIV Golf news. It's never quiet over there. Steve, again, last week, it was a week that offered what we thought so much and sort of petered out in the end. But we gave it a good run.
Yeah, I was quite happy. I can't lose at the moment, Jack. You know, I'm not winning much. Since the double, I haven't won much, but I haven't lost anything. And, last week for the each way punters was okay. I had five bets last week. I had four each way singles and one each way double and got a return off all of them. Yeah, it was lovely to see on Sunday Ludwig Aubert, my favourite player, and Madeline Sagstrom. They went birdie crazy in the Grant Thornton on Sunday and finished third. Christian Bezuidenhout then finished third in the Alfred Dunhill. Tony Finau and Nelly Korda got a share of fourth place in the Grant Thornton. And even Jaden Trace Schaefer got a share of seventh place in the Alfred Dunhill. So, yeah, strangely satisfying week, I found.
Absolutely. I've had to take my glasses off, Steve, because they keep steaming up. I think I've got a really hot head or something.
I can do that. I normally do that with the ladies, but sometimes the boys get excited as well.
Shall we start in the Alfred Dunhill, where Louis Oosthuizen and got it done? It was Christian Bezuidenhout and Jaden Schaefer that we were on. They gave it a good go, Bezuidenhout more so. But Oosthuizen won the Alfred Dunhill. It was the tournament that he hadn't got done in what's been an illustrious career. It's on his CV now. It was probably slightly more tense than he would have liked, but an impressive tee to green performance from Oosthuizen.
Well, his wedge play was excellent and he putted well, didn't he? But he's been injured for most of the year, Jack. You know, I remember watching Liv Tucson way back in March. And he had arm tendon problems. He revealed his arm tendon problems in his elbow. And, he admitted during that tournament that he was delaying surgery until the end of the LIV season. So he wanted to bank all the dollar from the LIV season. And then I think he got tempted by Johan Rupert, which is a good friend of his. Johan Rupert is the Dunhill chief. And he obviously dangled some incentives to play in the Dunhill Lynx Championship and the Alfred Dunhill Championship. So I think Oosthuizen's been making these business decisions. And again, he's playing this week because he's co-designer of the Mauritius Open venue this week. So, yeah, I think he's been chasing some easy dollar, you know, hanging on. You know, this arm's been sort of hanging by a thread. You know, he's got some serious elbow tendon problems, delaying the surgery. And I think he'll finally have it after this week. He's been an injured golfer, but he's been banking some good dollar for his tractor passion. You know, he's got a passion for tractors, isn't he? And they're very expensive things, so he needs
really
to...
expensive actually tractors, aren't they?
Yeah, he loves tractors more than he loves golf. So he'd be delighted. He might be able to buy another tractor now.
I guess the thing with tractors, Steve, is they take up so much space. Not only do you need the money to afford to buy them, it's the storage of them as well. It's not like a little Aston Martin or something that you can just pop in the garage. You can't put a tractor in a garage, can you? Unless you've got a very big garage.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got a massive farm, hasn't he? And I think he's got combined harvesters and all sorts. But very strange character. Likes farming more than golf. You know, I think he would have rather been a farmer than a golf, but he was too bloody good at golf. So he had to go along that path. But I'll be very wary of Oosthuizen. We'll get on to the Mauritius Open. But he's been completely unbackable for me all season because of this elbow tendon injury.
It did seem like that was the one he was targeting to just get over the line. It was Charles Schwartzel and Christian Bezuidenhout that chased him all the way. I mean, Bezuidenhout was certainly not boring, was it? I think it was the Friday or the Thursday where he went double hole in one, bogey, birdie or something. I mean, it was a roller coaster to be on with Christian last week.
Yeah, we had two double bogeys on Friday and a hole in one. They didn't even show the hole in one. The coverage was very poor. You know, the Sky Sports frustrates us with these 10 a.m. starts. And then, you know, I tuned in at 10 a.m. expecting to see the Bezuidenhout hole in one. And they just mentioned it, but didn't show it. But Friday was a bit up and down. He just had the odd loose drive here and there. You know, he got punished for loose drives. But his iron play was, you know, generally sublime. He's a fantastic iron player, as Bezuidenhout, and he only lost by four shots in the end. But yeah, I was just pleased to get him in the places in the end, because when Aubert and Sagstrom got the place in the other one, the each way double on the number ones was a hearty one. And then Jaden Trace-Shaper. I mean, we're going to spend a lot of time on this podcast discussing him because, you know, he's been in contention for every single one of these events in South Africa over the last 3 weeks. You know, leaderboard regular, but just, you know, just decisive moments, the putts slide by. I mean, were you following his progress? I think you were frustrated by the putts. Yeah. He was hitting good putts, seemingly good putts, just shaving the hole.
He's quite aggressive, isn't he, with his putting? He almost starts it on a line that you think he's going to sort of dribble it in the front, and he just races them by. I mean, it's not a bad thing to be hitting them with authority, but he seems to struggle with the reading.
Well, I've never seen it's been a while since I've been on a player who shaved the hole so much. I mean, the Leopard Creek greenkeepers must go to the course this morning and see these great big craters for holes because Shaper's just been shaving them. but no, that was frustrating. But at least he got in the top eight. Yeah, back top eight, guys, back top eight. I mean, as a young, foolish youth, most youths are young. I don't know why I said young youth. As a young youth, I used to be very averse to each way bets. So you say, well, yeah,
I was going to say, Steve, I mean, I can remember even on here in the last few years, you used to be a win only man with a lot of your betting, and you seem to have changed tact somewhat.
Yeah. I used to be very cavalier win only punter, but times have changed. And yeah, particularly last week in the Grant Thornton Invitational, in the olden days, there's no way I would have played each way there. But now I'm just aware that the each way bets are the better value ones by a long way these days. Each way terms are magnificent in a lot of golf tournaments. So yeah, you must play each way. And if you did play each way last week, you would have had a satisfying week, particularly on the double.
Absolutely. Well, it was won by Louis Oosthuizen. So well done to him and anyone that backed him. The Grant Thornton Invitational, Steve. I must say, I was going into it with trepidation. I wasn't too sure what to expect. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was brilliant fun. There was some great play on the show, some players that we maybe don't often get to see too much. It was won by Jason Day and Lydia Ko. It was a fantastic final day. We were on Finau and Korda alongside Åberg and Sagstrom. Again, both of those pairs doing us proud. But I really enjoyed it. I hope we see an expansion of this type of event going forwards.
Oh, yeah. I think the Grant Thornton will be here forevermore. You know, it was an overdue event, wasn't it? They messed around with like the Scandinavian mixed and on the DP World Tour. We've had little bits and bobs. But, you know, this was high class players. Like, you know, most of the world's best ladies were in attendance, and you know, a lot of decent men were in attendance. You know, possibly the greatest of all in Ludwig Åberg. And Lydia Ko and Jason Day was a lovely story, wasn't it? Because they prepared so well and they bonded so well. Lydia Ko admitted she was so nervous about playing with Jason Day. She said she couldn't just turn up in for the tournament and start playing with him because she'd be overcome. So she said to Jason, can we meet up a bit earlier, get there, get to Tibur on early, have some practice. You know, they had a full practice round for 18 holes. Yeah. She needed to settle into it because Jason Day, one of her heroes. I mean, she's a New Zealander. The Aussie former world number one. Yeah, these two are both former world number ones. Yeah. And they just clicked and they prepared well. And that foursomes performance on Saturday was incredible. That was the foundation for the victory. And well done to two sweet spot commentators. We must mention Scott Wheeler and Darren Walker, both back to Ko and Day at 12-1. And, fantastic bet. I doff my caps to those guys. And our guys were in the places behind them.
Absolutely. You WhatsApped me, I think, on the Saturday, slightly concerned. It might have even been before the start of the tournament, saying, Ludwig has changed his clubs. Oh. And you were thinking, I didn't know about that. And I've also seen he's changing caddy now as well, isn't he? It's all changed for Ludwig at the moment.
Well, he'd been using Titleist clubs, but he had a 2018 set of irons in his bag. He'd never had a club deal before. And then for the first time ever, he signed a club deal just before the Grant Thornton. So when you sign a club deal, you've got to use the latest equipment. So he had to put the 2023 Titleist irons in the bag last week. And, you know, the first two rounds were a little bit disappointing. You know, maybe it took him a couple of days to get settled with them. But on Sunday, he was magnificent. They were 12 under par in the modified four balls. You know, it's not just four balls. Remember, you know, Madeline tees off for him. And then they switch balls from there and play from there. Yeah, Madeline did well. She held an amazing long eagle putt late on. Yeah, it looked like they might even set a mark that could win the tournament at one stage. Ludwig obviously taking a bit of bunts there to for signing this club deal, but he says they're very similar. They sit very similar to the 2018 model. There's not a lot of difference. I mean, these days the sort of the club manufacturers has run out of innovation, and it has reached a stage where you can't improve anything. And now, obviously, with all the dramas, they're going to they're going to roll back the ball and whatnot. But yeah, innovation is dead. So the 2023 irons probably not that different from the 2018 irons, and let's just accept you can't improve golf equipment anymore.
I was going to say, if they're the same, if they're the same brand, it can't be too different, can it? Just a quick word on Finau and Korda. I thought they were great fun to watch. It was probably the putter that let them down on the Sunday, wasn't it? When we thought they were in contention for the full 18, but never quite got it going.
Yeah. I mean, the Finau putter was the biggest concern when you bat that group, and it did go cold. And Nelly.
Sorry, Steve. To interrupt. It's very strange watching Finau putt because he's so light. It's such an angle, isn't it? You're always told of the ball sort of directly below your eyes. It just all looks a bit.
Yeah,
I was told I was a wonky putter. I think Finau is a bit of a wonky putter as well.
Well, he's changed his style quite recently in it to that one. I heard one commentator last week comparing it to Thevi Balathiroth. I mean, I think Thevi Balathiroth would have been turning in his grave to be compared to Tony Finau. I mean, Thevi, one of the best putters ever. Tony certainly not that. He held a few. There was a key moment on the Saturday when they're in perfect position in the foursomes on the 18th. And then, Nelly wafted it into the bunker on approach. And then they made an ugly bogey in the final hole of the foursomes. And, you know, that put them two shots behind going to the final round. I think, it was pretty demoralising for them.
Well done to all those that backed Day & Co, and a profitable week for those that follow Steve in with the selections as well. I guess the Finau element is a nice link into our next talking point, and that's LIV Golf, Steve. It's obviously been an incredibly hectic week going to talk about that. I guess the most recent news is that Tony Finau has said that he won't be going to LIV Golf after rumours that people thought he was moving over to there. The person that has gone over and has hit the newspapers all around the world is John Rahm. Now, John Rahm, you know, sort of said that, you know, he's not proper golf, didn't he, about, what was that, 6-7 months ago? And he signed a deal rumoured to be around £400 million. I mean, this is groundbreaking for golf. Our current Masters champion, the arguably the best player in the world, if not the best. A big move for LIV. I'm just not sure it really changes a whole lot, does it?
Well, it wasn't the world's best kept secret, was it? I mean, yeah, the rumours were abound. And then did you see the comical Fox Sports interview on Fox News? I mean, that was just your classic LIV defector interview, wasn't it? Because they always get stuck into this team element. Yeah, they go, oh, I love team golf. I love team golf. I love having the lads around me, you know, the camaraderie, doing it for more than just myself. It's such a load of nonsense, isn't it? You know, it reminds me of my college days. Yeah, you know, we played a lot of team golf in my college days. Yeah, you know, definitely the reason that I've joined is because I love team golf. You know, absolute nonsense. That's got like 0% reason on why you've done this. And then the Fox News interviewer, to his credit, brought up the subject of money. You know, he wanted to ask him about the signing on fee. And then again, Ron did the classic bemused LIV defector expression, you know, like, oh, money, I don't know, was there any money involved? You know, I don't know, it's just fine. I just love three round events and team golf and shotgun starts. Yeah, I'd play for free. Now, it was a classic interview. We all know what's going on. It's all about bunts, it's all about money. And I think a lot has changed, actually. Joe, I think that was massive. I think that was a massive signing.
Do you think, because I think the whole point, the way I'm looking at it, is LIV Golf clearly isn't working if they need to spend that sum of money to get players over. Like, it should, that's not a sustainable method, is it?
It's a bottomless pit of money, though, isn't it? So it is a sustainable effort. You know, these fellas have just got as much money as the figures are just irrelevant. They can just keep throwing and throwing and throwing. Whereas the PGA Tour, you know, desperately trying to get sponsors, and now John Rahm's gone, their product is weaker. I think that was a key moment. I think that's by far the biggest signing that they've had. And this agreement that was announced many moons ago, it just seems to have just gone. It seems to be dead in the water. I mean, it seems like they've been talking behind the scenes. They haven't managed to come up with any agreements. I guess the LIV guys wanted to take over the tour. The PGA Tour has been resisting it. But money, where's the romance gone? I mean, I wrote a dissertation about football at university called Money, Where's the Romance Gone? And unfortunately, money has taken over golf as well now. And I do fear for the PGA Tour because, they're struggling for sponsors. They can't sustain the prize money that they've been providing on the PGA Tour because the prize money on the PGA Tour has been immense. But obviously pales into insignificance when compared to the LIV prize money. And, sponsors are going to drop out. I think Wells Fargo have just pulled the plug, haven't they? I think more players are going to go to LIV. Yeah, sorry, I can see you're disappointed. I carry my PGA Tour umbrella around. I've got a PGA Tour umbrella that John Owen from Formby kindly sent me once. And I think I need to advertise the PGA Tour more than ever now because I think they're in big trouble. I think LIV's not going anywhere. You know, I assume when they had the mutual agreement, they'd all come together. I thought PGA Tour would become the central product. LIV Golf would fade away. But the LIV boys are obviously not happy with that. So they, LIV's going to go on and on and on. And I see more defectors. So Tony Finau has said he's not going, is he?
Yeah, he said he's not going anywhere on an Instagram post this morning. I just think it's such a shame, Steve, because, Rahm's one of my favourite players. But will I be following him when he plays LIV Orlando or something? No, I won't. I love golf for the history and the tradition of it all. And I'm really trying to get into LIV and I just can't. There's just something about it that it just feels really meaningless.
Well, the history and the tradition of the game, as you say, is the most important thing, and central to that is the majors, isn't it? And look how many players you now have on LIV that could potentially win the career Grand Slam. I mean, Dustin Johnson has won two majors. Obviously John Rahm is two away from the Grand Slam. They've got some big turkeys on there now, haven't they? Brooks Koepka. Yeah, Brooks Koepka could win the career Grand Slam. So you're going to have three players on the LIV circuit who could be going for career Grand Slams. I think the balance of power has shifted with that Rahm signing. And if you get a couple more and I think you will be tuning in, I'm afraid to say, Jack. I think you will be tuning in. I think it's getting to the stage where, they're getting stronger than the PGA Tour. And it pains me to say, I really don't, it saddens me as well, because PGA Tour's got the history, the established venues, and as a punter, which I always come back to, I try not to get too bogged down in politics, but as a punter, it makes life a little bit trickier. I like going to established venues where there's reams of course form, bloody blah, blah, blah. I am saddened, but I often have these thoughts about, Tiger Woods is the one that sort of made all the money for everyone in the first place. Tiger Woods created modern golf, and all the interest came from him. But I also think that there is one negative factor that Tiger had, in that he was so successful, and I speak to friends and they can't believe that Tiger Woods has not won more majors than anyone else. I got my friend Keith, who's a big football fan, very casual golf fan, and he just assumes that Tiger has won more majors. He's the greatest ever. And I stunned him when I told him Jack Nicklaus has won more majors. And the point I'm trying to make in a very roundabout sort of way is if Tiger Woods can't win the most amount of majors and become the greatest player in history, then nobody can they? And you talk about history and prestige. John Rahm's probably thinking, I'll win a few majors. I'm never going to get to Jack Nicklaus. I'm never going to get into Tiger Woods. What are these guys trying to achieve? And then they go around in circles and they've got these big checks dangled at them. And they just think, generational wealth, which is the term which is banded around. The Rahm dynasty is covered for the next millennia.
Well, look, Steve, I might be in the minority, and I'd love to hear from our viewers. Will you be tuning into LIV Golf now that John Rahm joins a whole host of world-class golfers over there? It's going to be interesting to see how that all develops. Let's take a look, Steve, at our final tournament preview of 2023. It's the Mauritius Open. We can watch the sun on our television as we sit here in gloomy England. Heritage Golf Club, talk us through what we could expect from this track this week.
Well, we're at a brand new golf course. We are at Heritage Golf Club, but they built a new golf course at Heritage Golf Club, and it's called La Reserve Golf Links. We're in Belle Ombre, Mauritius, One of my favourite parts of the world. I spent my 40th birthday in Mauritius and can't wait to get back there. I haven't managed to win enough money to get back there yet. But 7,111 yards, par 72, four par fives. Le Reserva opened on December the 1st, you know, this month. So that's what I mean. It's a brand new golf course for these guys to go at. It's a contemporary links, as they like to call them. We've seen a couple of these pop up on the DP World Tour in recent years. The Renaissance Club for the Scottish Open and Yas Links for the Abu Dhabi Championship. They are examples of contemporary links. Peter Matkovic and Louis Oosthuizen were the course designers of the Reserva. They call themselves co-designers. I would suggest Matkovic was very much the leader of that operation. Oosthuizen very much the big name to attract people in. It's built to play like a traditional links track. Fast running fairways, pot bunkers, wispy rough. But we've got a lack of wind this week. Yeah, this is what sometimes are these contemporary links. Yeah, not built at windy locations. I mean, the forecast for this week seems like gentle breezes. Yeah, decent weather forecast. I think the field of 156 make plenty of birdies.
Yeah, I was going to say the risk of these links tracks when it's not windy is very low scoring, isn't it? Right, let's take a look at the top of the market then. Last week's winner, Louis Oosthuizen, your favourite, 13-2. Matthew Pavon, 12-1. Joins Antoine Rosner at the same price, 12s. Then it's a jump to Marcel Seam, 22-1. Jaden Schaper, sweet spot favourite, 22-1. Lewis de Jager, 25s. Sebastian Soderberg, 25s. Bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, how many selections for the Mauritius Open?
Three. Very excited.
Okay. No, I'm excited too for this one. Okay. Talk us through your headline pick.
Yeah, I want one last hurrah. I really fancy this tournament. I'm going to go for one last hurrah. And the number one tip is Matthew Pavon at 14-1, who loves Mauritius. He is the touring professional for Anahita. He's their golf ambassador. Anahita has hosted two Mauritius Opens. Pavon, a regular visitor to Mauritius for practice. He made his Mauritius Open debut in 2017 as a DP World Tour rookie, and he finished fifth. That was at Heritage Golf Club's original layout, which is now known as Le Chatal Golf Course. Le Chatal was designed by the same man as Le Reserva, Peter Matkovic. Pavon made his second Mauritius Open start in 2018 at Anahita, and he finished second. He was 17th at Le Chatal in 2019, 32nd last year in the only subsequent Mauritius Open. We didn't have a Mauritius Open in 2020 or 2021 for COVID-19. So Pavon loves this tournament, and he's never arrived with more self-belief, full of himself at the moment. His maiden DP World Tour title came in the Spanish Open in October, a four-shot romp, John Rahm in his wake. He was sixth in the Dunhill Links the week before that win. And in his last two starts, he's been 15th in the Nedbank Challenge, fifth in the DP World Tour Championship. He's pocketed a PGA Tour card from the Race to Dubai rankings. He's penetrated the top 100 of the world rankings for the first time. You know, the fun is not stopping for this 31-year-old Frenchman. When the fun stops, stop, Jack. The fun is not stopping anytime soon for Matthew Pavon.
Is Pavon only 31? I thought 31. He was much older than that.
31, yeah. He's got quite a chiseled face, hasn't he? But
I'm not sure if that's a compliment to him, because it feels like he's been about for so long, and you know, his CV's quite relatively decorated, isn't it?
Well, the talent's always been there for Matthew Pavon, but yeah, he was struggling to go over the line in front, but now he has. Floodgates are opening. I mean, what an amazing turn of events, you know, win your first PGA Tour title, win your first DP World Tour title, Freudian slip. And then get a PGA Tour card, you know, a few months later, just sustaining that form. Matthew Pavon's on the PGA Tour next year. Yeah, he doesn't really, he's very carefree this week. You know, he's going to enjoy it, but, you know, you play well when you're relaxed and enjoying it. He knows the course very well. I just very, very downbeat on the favourite we'll come to. And I think, Matthew Pavon.
It must be amazing, Steve. I mean, being a good level professional golfer is one thing. Being able to apply your trade in Mauritius for a large part of the year. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? I always think it's in life, it's dangerous to kind of, you know, compare yourself to others and be jealous of people's lives, because often they're not quite as good as they look. But playing golf in Mauritius for a few months of the year and earning good money, I think that's reason to be jealous, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the views on this course are incredible. The views of the Indian Ocean. This is one of the best looking courses I've seen in a long time. I encourage viewers to tune in and just enjoy the views. Yeah, you can do what you're doing there, Jack, but just balance it out with the, you know, the people that you're not jealous of. Yeah, there's plenty of people going through absolute hell on this ridiculous planet of ours. I mean, the more you sort of study Earth, the more crazy it becomes, doesn't it? Yeah, there's people having amazing lives like Matthew Pavon, and then there's people having horrible lives. And you know, you're somewhere in the middle. No, I would suggest you're somewhere up the top, actually. You're very much nearer to the top than you realize. So yeah, thank your lucky stars, young man.
Absolutely, Steve. Okay, Matthew Pavon, Steve Palmer's headline selection around about 12-1 best price. Two more picks. Who are we up with next?
It is Antoine Rosner, also best at 14-1 now. A double French attack in Mauritius. Yeah, the French love Mauritius. These two boys are going to be first and second on the lead will come the end of the week. I'm backing the two highest ranked players in this field. Yeah, we'll come on to the favourite. But for me, you know, these are the two highest ranked in the players in the world for a reason. Matthew Pavon is the highest ranked, 96. Antoine Rosner is the next highest. I have them as the first and second most likely winners of this tournament. Right? I don't trust Louis Oosthuizen as far as I can throw Louis Oosthuizen.
We'll get on to Louis in a bit because I know you're...
I can't throw Louis Oosthuizen very far. That's the point I need to make. Rosner. Yeah, we'll come on to it. Rosner, three-time DP World Tour champion. His last victory came with a five-shot romp in the Mauritius Open 12 months ago. That was at Montchoisy, a Peter Matkovich design. He's going to another Matkovich design this week. He's a two-time Challenge Tour winner. This is a 30-year-old who has paraded plenty of silverware. He's been a pro for 7 years and he's been lifting lots of trophies. He knows he's a decent sized fish this week in a pathetic little pond, if I'm honest. I mean, we like Mauritius as a place. It's glorious, beautiful. I wouldn't dare call Mauritius pathetic. I adore Mauritius. But this tournament lineup is woeful, gets weak, gets very weak very quickly. I see these two Frenchmen dominating in this pond, Jack. Rosner made his Mauritius Open debut in 2018 at Anahita. Massively inexperienced at the time, winless as a pro, outside the world's top 600, finished seventh. Then he was second at La Chatal in 2019, victorious last year. So his form figures from this event are 7-2-1. Playing rock solid golf of late, 10th in the Dunhill Links, 11th in the DP World Tour Championship, 15th in the Alfred Dunhill last week. Nice little warm up. It's Pavon versus Rosner for me. Very difficult to pick between the two. Pavon's price just holding up a little bit better.
Okay, going with the quality in the field, Rosner joins Pavon. The third and final selection for the Mauritius Open, Steve.
The third and final selection of 2023. Tom Lewis.
Tom Lewis. It's been a while.
Tom Lewis.
About Tom Lewis.
Tom Lewis, 55-1 is out there, who's got his career right back on track. He'd been playing on the Challenge Tour and been playing well. He finished 16th in the grand final at the start of last month. Then a couple of weeks later, he went off to the DP World Tour qualifying school. And he was awesome over the final three rounds. The opening rounds didn't go well. It's a six-round event. He opened with 71, 69, 73, completely tailed off. Lewis fans were heartbroken. You know, this is a talent that is being wasted. We're all massive Tom Lewis fans. He needs to be back in the big time. His final three rounds of that Q school, 61, 67, 65, comfortably secured his DP World Tour card. That was 20 under par, Jack, for the final three rounds. Finished sixth at Q school. It was vintage Tom Lewis. We know how good he can be. He's 32 now. He'll be looking to kick on from here. Two-time DP World Tour champion. Second in the 2020 WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Do you remember that one? Justin Thomas won that one.
Yeah.
Top class field. He was second in that. He can mix it with the best. He won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship in 2019. He's won on the Challenge Tour. We're talking about a brilliant golfer here and one that relishes Lynx golf. As an amateur, he was fantastic at Lynx golf. He led the Open in 2011 when still an amateur after round one. He was 11th in the 2019 Open. He's had three top tens in the Dunhill Links Championship. I think he's going to fall in love with Le Réserve this week.
Absolutely. Tom Lewis, good to have him back on the list. Is it? How do you approach a tournament like this, Steve, when, you know, the course has been, finished for just a couple of weeks? Is it difficult to kind of find form lines and such, or are you still kind of confident with that part?
I'm having to take a little bit of faith in the course designers and what they're telling me about it. I've been looking at videos of it. I've had a good look at it. I mean, it's visually stunning, but yeah, they're telling me they're fast running fairways. They look like fast running fairways. It does look like a classic Lynx in a tropical paradise. I mean, you know, a contemporary Lynx, as they like to say. So I think I've got a good handle on the course. I think approach play would be absolutely crucial. I'm very, very excited about this tournament because I think the favourite, I've been gagging to talk about, I think the favourite has huge potential to flop.
Well, come on then, let's talk about, because I know you've been eager to. Louis Oosthuizen won last week at the Alfred Dunhill, probably a stronger field than this week. I don't know. I don't know if the data backs that up, but I guess to the eye test, it probably says that. Many people would be going, Steve, well, won last week, bigger tournament. Why do you not fancy him this week?
Well, he's an emphatic favourite. 13-2 is the best you can get. I think the co-designer thing, as I say, I suspect that is massively overplayed. I think, you know, Peter Matkovic, you know, very experienced course designer. I'm sure he would have been the head boy in that union. But, you know, he's not a big name, is he? So he's not going to attract people to come and play his course as well as Louis Oosthuizen does. So Louis Oosthuizen pops over and goes, oh, yeah, whack a bunker there. Oh, that looks nice. Yeah, signs his name to it. And everyone thinks, oh, well, Oosthuizen knows this course like the back of his hand. I suspect that is a load of baloney. But the key element is this injury situation. Because this injury has been lingering and lingering and lingering. And John Morgan, in the post-round interview on Monday, because remember that the tournament went into Monday due to bad weather, so he's only just finished that tournament. John Morgan tried to talk to him about this tendon issue because everyone in South Africa knows about it, and everyone on the LIV circuit knows about it. And he just brushed it under the carpet. He just goes, yeah, I'm managing it. And he sort of walked away from John Morgan, didn't want to talk about it. I suspect that's because he knows he's going to a tournament this week that his name needs to stay in the entry list. You know, he's the headline act. He'll attract people to the Mauritius Open. He's got to go and talk about this golf course. He's the co-designer of this golf course. So he didn't want any chat about the injury to disrupt the lead up to that. But I think there's got to be every chance that this injury, which he was suffering with last week, stops him from even playing in the golf tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if you get a pre-tournament withdrawal. So then you get your bets on early on my two Frenchmen. Who the prices will crash on them if Oosthuizen pulls out before the start or during the event. If he feels any sort of significant pain during the event, he's just going to go, all right, I've come along. Yeah, I hope you like my course. I'm off now to get the surgery that he's been talking about all blimmin' year. Yeah. Get the surgery in before Christmas. So I just don't see how he can be at full throttle. I mean, there's you know, obviously as a class player, open champion, you know, likes Lynx golf. Ordinarily there'd be reasons to be interested, but I can't see the motivation aside from the business interest, because his name is on this new course and he needs to promote this new course. Everything he's doing, you know, John Rahm's getting all the stick at the moment, but these guys are all mercenaries, aren't they, at the end of the day? You know, there's a lot of, you know, Louis Oosthuizen's schedule completely designed by chasing the dollar. You know, he's played LIV golf all season. He needed the surgery. No, I'm going to just go mid-division in all these LIV events, pocket some more dollar, buy some more tractors. And then it come the end of the LIV season, right, shall I get surgery? Oh, hello, Johan, how much? A little bit of incentive to come play in the Dunhill events. Oh, OK, no, I'll do that. Oh, well, I'll co-designer for that one. Yeah, I'll come play. And then it's just greed, and it's horrible. I mean, but then we're greedy. We're trying to make money out of the situation right here, right now. money, where's the romance gone? I didn't get as good a mark as I should have done in that dissertation way back when at Bournemouth University. If the professor's still alive who gave that, whatever he gave it, was one of the best dissertations ever created. It was about football and how money had taken over football and the romance pertaining to football. I mean, that has
you were ahead of, you were ahead
I'm
of the
keep
curve,
throwing man. My arms around like this and just to until you, I get a better you, mark for that.
You were ahead of the curve on that one.
I was, that was a long time ago, but it's happening in golf now, and we've just got to accept it. No one's going to beat Jack Nicklaus's majors record. Unless, you know, maybe Ludwig or Berwin. I'll stop talking. I know I scare you when I get on one of these rants.
Let's say, Stephen, you know, if we win big this week, instead of buying a, you know, a John Deere or a Massey Ferguson, let's have a trip to this course in Mauritius for a week. Go all
great
out
idea.
And enjoy ourselves. That can be our mid-season break.
Great
there
idea.
We go, then. That's...
I wouldn't buy a tractor if you offered me one for about £100.
Really? Oh, I think I'd take one for £100. I don't know where I'd put it, but... I think I'd take it.
Well, I suppose you would just to sell it on at a bigger price, wouldn't you? But yeah.
That's our preview done for the Mauritius Open. Then 2023, in terms of the sweet spot, is done. What a year it's been. What do you look back? What's your highlight of the last 12 months, Steve?
I think a mixture of two, actually. I would say Camilo Villegas winning there, because that was such a glorious moment when it...
Was that the one sporting event of the year that made you cry? Has there been any others?
Great point. What happened to the England football team this year? Normally when they spend my whole life crying when they go out in the latter stages of tournaments. We didn't have one this year, did we? They all blur into one in the end, didn't they? I'd say that one and the emergence of... Yeah, I'd say Camilo Villegas and Ludwig Aubert. The emergence of Ludwig Aubert... maybe I was a bit hasty to say no one's going to catch Jack Nicklaus, because maybe Ludwig Aubert can. The point I was making there was that when people talk about the history of the game and get all worked up about what's going on, I just think, there's an element of thinking, how are you ever going to better Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods? As every generation passes, it gets so much harder for all these bars are set so high. Maybe it is just better to take the $400 million. And live happily ever after.
Yeah, well, I think that's a slightly defeatist attitude. That's like saying, we shouldn't be doing what we should do because there's always someone better out there. I mean, you've got to, if you want to go and win the Kenyan Open or something, then you should be absolutely motivated to do that.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely motivated, but it's just the way the world is at the moment. Everyone's craving security. It's a scary old world out there, Jack. I mean, it's absolutely, we come into our little sweet spot bubble and babble on about stuff, don't we? But the world is absolutely mental out there at the moment. And, if someone waved a $400 million check in your face and just said, is this security for you and your ancestors and you struggle no matter what they ask you to do, Jack.
Absolutely. Well, I'm pleasantly surprised, Steve, actually, that your highlights didn't include necessarily betting, and I think that's been a big progress I've seen in your game in the last 12 months. you can appreciate the greater good of golf even outside of your little your few selections. So that's a good... That's
well, Ludwig Aubert winners the RSM Classic, didn't he? So maybe a little bit biased towards him. But I can't remember the last time I was so excited about a new player. I'd say Ludwig Aubert has transformed the golfing map. God, if he goes to live, then I don't know what we're going to do.
Makes you choke just thinking about it.
It does.
Steve, for the final time in 2023, let's run through your selections for the Mauritius Open.
Matthew Pavon, Antoine Rosner, Tom Lewis. Get on as quickly as you ruddy well can, because Louis Hausen has a very, very sore elbow, which he doesn't like to talk about. But, anything could happen this week. I suspect he might withdraw.
Okay, there we go, Steve. Thank you very much to all of those at home that have watched, that have listened. Thank you so much for making Sweet Spot such a pleasure to present. Of course, Bruce Millington led this with great authority for the majority, and it's been a huge honour to step into the presenting chair alongside Steve Palmer. We will be back in the new year. Enjoy your Christmas break. Enjoy the Mauritius Open this week, and I hope you all have a wonderful festive period. For myself and Steve, it's a warm goodbye. See you later, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Peace be with you.